Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down, how the mountains would quake in your presence. As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the world tremble. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. You welcome those who gladly do mercy and justice, who follow your ways. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. And yet, O Lord, you and our Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hand. Don't be so angry with us, Lord. Please don't remember our sins forever. Look at us, we pray, and see that we are all your people.
Almost 600 years later, a wandering rabbi named Jesus was walking around the rebuilt temple, but warning of it all coming down again. He said to his disciples, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the sky. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gate. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away before all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with their work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." There is a lovely term in architecture called liminal space. I love how it rolls off the tongue. Liminal, liminal, liminal. Liminal space is a transitional space, a space that can occur on both sides of a boundary. When you are in liminal space, you are not here or there, but in some strange in-between. That is, between where you were and where you want to be. Think waiting rooms, parking lots, stairwells, rest stops, airport gates, border checks. Well, pointing the wrong way. These spaces, liminal spaces, feel awkward because if you spend too much time in them, you realize that the spaces don't exist for staying in. They exist for the things that come before them or after them. They don't exist for themselves. And so when you spend time there, you just feel yucky or awkward. That's a very sophisticated theological term, I know. You can hang out in a living room all day long watching Netflix, binge watching show after show after show, and it's you may feel lazy, but you don't feel gross. Well, maybe you will too. But a living room is constantly saying, stick around, as the Netflix thing says, your next session or your next episode will start in 7 seconds. No time to turn it off, no time, and you'll watch another one. And the living room just invites you to stay there. It's what living rooms do. But if you hang out in a hospital stairwell, binge watching Game of Thrones for an afternoon, you're going to want to take a shower afterwards. And they'll probably call the cops on you, because liminal space is meant to get you from one place to another. It's not a place you're supposed to hang out. Liminal space always feels awkward. There's also, I think, liminal time. Liminal time in our lives. Like liminal space, liminal time is a little uncomfortable. It's hanging out chronologically between one time and another. And it's always awkward when you're not feeling here or there, or not quite yet, yet no longer what was. But it's where our deepest and most invisible and core changes happen. Think of an insect pupa. You see the little brown goobery things hanging out underneath your eaves on your garage. They look dead, but there's so much going on inside. That thing is no longer a caterpillar, but it's not yet a moth. It's this in-between thing, and yet there is so much going on, so much transformation and changing at a very cellular level. In humans, we have a lot of stages. The one that's fairly new is called tween. I love that word, tween. It's that awkward stage between innocent childhood and surly teenager. There's this place of children in between, drowning in estrogen or testosterone and just not here or there. But there's these amazing changes going on in body and brain in that liminal time called tweenness. Think of an engagement period. Engagement is this awkward yet wonderful time between being single and being married, and you're not quite either. But it's a time of profound change inside oneself, your sense of self, going from being a monad, being a single self-sufficient unit, to being half of a couple, where there will be interdependence and shared life and lots of compromise. Two people who will share life together. Pregnancy is a liminal time, and many of you have recently or are dealing with that. Don't have to tell you about all the changes going on. Liminal time, like pregnancy, does end. Almost every time, it seems to. Hospital waiting time is liminal time. When my wife Barb had her traumatic brain injury, and I'm waiting either in her room while she's on a ventilator, or I'm in the waiting room trying to keep busy doing something else. It was time outside of time. And it looked like she was doing nothing and I was doing nothing, yet there was profound healing going on in one person's brain and profound acceptance and spiritual change going on in somebody else's. It is outside of ordinary time. When they woke Barb up from her induced coma, the docs asked her, do you know what day it is? And I was like, she's been in a coma. I don't know what day it is, and I've been awake, but I've been in hospital time. I've been on waiting room time. It is weird and in between. Every change that matters requires liminal time. For pregnancies to come to fruition, for bread to rise, for wine to ferment, for children to grow, for faith to deepen, all of them require liminal time. The in-between place that is required, waiting, required awakeness. Advent is liminal time. While the secular culture is blaring on about radioactive reindeer and sentient snowmen and buying your way to a perfect Christmas, Advent is quietly calling us to change and to grow, to metamorphosize, to transition, to mature, to become whole. Advent is not just a preparation season for Christmas. It's a preparation time for the inbreaking of God's presence into our world. Advent looks back, certainly, 2,000 years back to God's breaking into human history in a barn in Bethlehem. But Advent also looks around at the present, to the new ways that God's presence is being made manifest, being made known in our world in subtle and unexpected places. And Advent looks toward the future, when God's will and realm will be made fully manifest in human hearts and human history in this strange thing Jesus preached about called the kingdom of God. Advent looks both forward and back, and it's in between there, it's liminal space. Advent prepares us both for the quiet hope of Christmas and the painful hope of the kingdom breaking in, even in the midst of human history, with all its pain, all its injustice. And I believe Advent can give us a patient hope to live today as citizens of tomorrow's kingdom. Which is why Advent begins with these terrible readings. Oh my gosh. We should be starting off with an angel coming to talk to Mary, right? We should be doing something sweet and wonderful and nostalgic and warm and fuzzy. And where's the manger? And where's the shepherds? And where's the magi? And where's the silent night? Instead, we get from Mark these wild warnings about the sun being darkened and stars falling and fig trees and staying awake. And Isaiah cries out to the skies to be rent apart. What is the deal? The deal is that both Isaiah and Jesus were living in liminal time, in between, on the border, on the boundary between what was and what would come, and they cried out to God to break those boundaries and to break in at those boundaries. The breaking of boundaries is also what Advent is all about. That's what liminal space is. You break the boundaries from one space to another. All the scriptures, all the law and the prophets, all of God's own being is aimed at letting us know of the indescribable love that God has for this fragile creation and for all of us, God's fragile children. And all of the churches and all of the synagogues and all of the mosques and cathedrals, the great theologies, the hymns of Wesley, the fugues of Bach, the preaching of thousands of ministers and rabbis and mullahs, the prayers of hopeful hundreds of millions are aimed at we human creatures acting on that love in whatever way we can. and liminal space and liminal time. When that breaking through happens between our being and God's being, that's where the change happens. That's where the maturity, the breaking through. Every week we pray a dangerous prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're asking for God to break in and break through. Do you know what you're asking for? 2,500 years ago, the prophet Isaiah, looking out over the charred remains of Jerusalem and a holy temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonians, yearned with every fiber of his being for God to break the boundaries and act again in human history as God had done in the Exodus. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that mountains would quake at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect you to, come down. Come, Lord, break the boundaries. Turn the world upside down. Almost 2,000 years ago in Mark's infant church, Christians were being arrested and tortured and killed by the Emperor Nero. They cried out for Jesus to return soon, for the boundaries to be broken, for the sun to go dark, for the very cosmos to be shaken at the coming of the Lord. The language, when we read it today, is terrifying, but it was a language of hope to a hurting people of faith around the year 67. Come, Lord Jesus, break the boundaries, turn the world upside down. There is a boundary between human existence and divine presence. It is invisible. This boundary is one of human sin, of human illusions, of self-sufficiency, of human despair, of human injustice, of human despoilation. God is not a puppet master. God has always given us perfect freedom for good or ill. And we as a species have built that freedom up into a Berlin wall of sin, where on this side we despoil our world, we use others as a means to our own ends, we measure happiness in things rather than right relationship, and we feel like Isaiah who writes, we have all faded like a leaf and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name, for you have hidden your face. Or so it seems on this side of the boundary, on this side of the wall that we have built. But this is the good news of Advent. Our God is a liminal God. We have a God who is always working to break through the boundary, to come to us in love. God does God's part. And Advent is our time of awakening to that great truth, being made aware that God is able to break through the boundaries of our sin and despair and brokenness. Advent is the time for us to prepare to meet the love of God there, to come to the boundary ourselves. That's what this Advent stuff, all the accoutrements we have here, the candles, the prayers, the music, the preparation, it's all about helping us to meet God at the breaking of boundaries, for God to come into our presence and we into God's presence and ours to be either quietly or with some amount of energy aware of God's being. That breaking through can take very different forms. It can be the quiet reassurance of God's presence in our lives. Perhaps the still, small voice that calls us to discipleship. Maybe the breaking through can be wrenching, it can be a challenging of an unjust status quo, telling us to let go of a destructive addiction or a dependence on things rather than on love, on God. That kind of breaking through can feel like the sun going dark and the stars falling into the sea. That breaking through can be in the quietest of walks in the winter woods. It can be a call to fight against the powerful who prey on the poor, to bring them to repentance and change. Advent is a time of breaking through. One of my favorite hymns of the season is Silent Night. We think of a hushed creche and God breaking through in the silent night. But it wasn't really like that for the young family who was affected. When Mary said, "Come, Lord," her world was turned upside down. And that small child in the manger turned his world upside down and turns our world upside down. And to anyone who is willing to let Jesus be their focus for the breaking through of God in their lives, he becomes Savior. The wall of sin being broken down and smashed for good. So it is Advent. I pray that we may each stay awake and be prepared. I pray that we may put ourselves in places where boundaries can be broken, that we might make a place for the Christ child to be born in our hearts and our world, for us to say yes to God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to say yes to the joy that God has promised the world, to say yes in faith to the ways that God has worked in the past, and to say yes in hope to the ways that God will be made known in the future, and to say yes to all the ways that God is made quietly known right now. This Advent, whether it's in a living room or a waiting room or a mountainside, a demonstration or a march, say yes to God's breaking into our world. Stay awake, stay woke, and stay waiting.